We're picking up with Daf Gimel Amud Beis at the two dots at the top of the page is where we're going to start. But before we start with the Gemara in Kiddushin, I want to learn the Mishnah that this is based on in Ksubis. So we'll hand out an omelet from Ksubis. So I've actually got the Ksubis here. So it's on Daf Mem Vov Amud Beis in Ksubis is where the quoted Mishnah appears. And the Mishnah there says, four lines from the top of Mem Vov, Ho'av zakai bevitoi bekidusheho bekesef bishtar v'bia. So that's going to be familiar. That's the only phrase we need from this Mishnah. That's going to be familiar for you because it's the very piece of Mishnah that our sugya starts off with. And we'll go back into our Gemara in a moment. I just want to spend a few moments on this first of all. Ha'av zakai bevitoi. How did you phrase this? Anybody want to tell me how did you phrase this sentence? Anybody want to have a bash at it? How did you read it?
Hey, your father's responsible.
No, not translate. Just phrase it and read it. Just show me how you read it. Because I've got about six different ways to read it, so I'm interested in how you... Just read it. Where do you put the commas?
I see. After Bikidusheho, you
probably
put a comma.
Ha'ov zakai bevitu Bikidusheho. Bekesef bishtar v'bia is the way you wanted it. Okay. Anybody read it any differently?
You could read it that
Yeah, so Av Zakai Bevito. So the difference would be the way you're learning it, the schus of the Av is in the kiddushin of the daughter, and the way you're learning it that the schus of the Av is in the daughter. The outcome of that is that kiddushin, whether Bekesef Bishtar V'Bia, belongs to the father. So there are really different ways of working it. If we look at the Mishnah, I'm going to work with you. Well, you don't have this in front of you, unfortunately, but I'm going to work with you with the Mishnah from the Mishnayos, where firstly there are two nuschos brought in the Shinui nuschos, in the big Mishnah. There's a Shinui nuschos that brings because there are Mishnayos different kisvei yad of Mishnayos, and sometimes there are slight differences that are quite important, and we'll see over here that this one is quite important. Firstly, just the wording. So the Mishnah has it, Ho'av zakai bevitu bikidusheho bekesef bishtar uvabiyah. Is that the same way the Gemara has it in Ksubis?
Yeah.
Exactly the same. Do you notice that that's not the way Rashi has it? What is the difference between the way Rashi has it in Ksubis and the way it's in the Mishnah?
Uvishtar.
There's a vav in front of the shtar. So the one way this is not even phrasing, this is just on the actual wording. Ha'av zakai bevitu bikidusheho bekesef bishtar uvabiyah, or ha'av zakai bevitu bikidusheho bekesef uvishtar. Rashi doesn't say ubeviyah, but the other girsa which is brought is uvishtar uvabiyah. So let's have a look at what those mean. Do you sense any difference between those? If I say to you, and just think of it in English, it works exactly the same in English. Yes. If I say bekesef bishtar uvabiyo, kesef shtar uvabiyo is all one phrase. Isn't that so? If I say apples, pears, and oranges, that's how I would say. But if I'm going to say
apples and pears
and oranges, that means something different. That there's a different meaning in that. So if it says bekesef bishtar uvabiyo, the way we've got it, those three would be phrased together, so then the reading would probably be Ho'av zakai bevitu bikidusheho bekesef bishtar uvabiyah. So the Av is zakai in his daughter in her kiddushin, bekesef, and how does that manifest? There are three kinds of kiddushin, kesef shtar uvabiyah, and we'll analyze that still. Or, if it's bekesef uvishtar, then it reads a little different. So now maybe we've got to read it Ho'av zakai bevitu. Bekidusheho bekesef, uvishtar uvabiyah. which means kiddushah only goes on the kesef. Do you follow the difference? If we bracket kesef, shtar, and bia together, then kiddushah goes on all three. It's like you would write in a mathematical formula. You would have the x bracket a b c or whatever. It's called the distributive property. So that's how you would read it. Bekiddushah, and then bracketed, which means kiddushah bekesef, kiddushah bishtar, kiddushah bevio. There are three different ways that there can be kiddushin, and in each of the three, the avizaka. That would be the way to read it if there's no vov. If there is a vov, then we would need to read it. Hav zakai bevitu bekiddushah bekesef. Stop. Uvishtar, not kiddushah bishtar. Because kiddushah can mean one of two things. Kiddushah can mean the rights to the kiddushin. He's mekabel the kiddushin, but more likely kiddushah means kesef kiddushin. Av zakai bekiddushah bepashtus means the money handed over at the time of kiddushin. So if I say av zakai bevitu bekiddushah bekesef, when kesef is used as the kiddushin, the kesef goes to the father. And in addition, the zechus of the father in his daughter manifests also when there's no kesef, even if it's bishtar of a bia. It also works. There's also a zechus. So we're going to get into defining what zechus means actually in this. Let me go a little bit further before we discuss it. So ha'av, which would mean then it would be ha'av zakai bevitui bekidusheho bekesef uvishtar uvebia. So we would expect then that if you're going to say uvishtar, you would phrase kiddushah bekesef as one. And in the Mishnah from which I'm reading to you, they don't punctuate that. Not that we have to be governed by the punctuation in the Mishnah, but whoever it was who punctuated, it puts a little dot after bekiddushah, and another dot after bekesef, and another dot after bishtar, and another dot after bevir. So whoever punctuated it as ha'av zakai bevitui bekiddushah, bekesef, bishtar, uvebir. But if we're going to say bekesef uvishtar uvebia, then kiddushah bekesef is one phrase. Look at Rashi and Ksubas. What does Rashi do with kiddushah bekesef? Do you see how he phrases it together? He doesn't say bekiddushah. The dibur hamaschil in the second Rashi on the Mishnah is, let's start with the first dibur hamaschil. Ho'av zakai bevitoi, says Rashi, bekatnus uvenarus. We're not only talking about a ketano, we're talking about a nar or two. And that's the whole problem. If we were talking about a ketana, it would be simple. Of course the av zakai b'ketana. The ketana can't be zocha herself. She can't get it herself. But that's not the case. We're saying even a nairo who is fully capable of transacting, still she doesn't keep the money goes to the father. That's the whole tumul in our sugya. The next Rashi, b'kiddushah b'kesef. See how Rashi phrases it. Shekesef kiddushah sheloi. What's pshat kiddushah? Kiddushah doesn't mean that he's mekabel the kiddushin, the act of kiddushin. It's not a symbolic, that is the symbolic mekabel. It's the actual recipient of the money that passes hands at the time of the kiddushin. That's what kiddushah means. Rashi doesn't want you to think that kiddushah means the act of kiddushin. Of which there are three forms. Kesef, shtar, and bia. No, says Rashi. Kiddushah bekesef means shekesef kiddushin shelo. That's what it means. So what does bishtar mean? Uvishtar? Not the kesef shtar shelo, or that the shtar is shelo. That's not so. What does Rashi say? Uvishtar? Sheim kibel shtar irusin oleho harezu mekudeshes. If he was mekabel the shtar, she is mekudeshes. What chus is that? What is his chus? So I understand the chus of kiddushah bekesef. The chus is he gets money. He can, it's tradable. And we're not looking at the aesthetics of whether it's a nice thing to do and the father trading the daughter. That's not the point. The point is, where is the value? Where does the value move to? And who has rights to that value? That's what's important to understand. So the father has the rights to the value. That's when kesef passes hands. What happens bishtar when there's no passing of hands? When there's nothing that passes hands except the shtar, and the shtar has no value. Because the Gemara says further on, at least the Bavli holds, that a shtar can be b'isur hanor. And a shtar can be written, you can write a shtar on something that you can have no hanor from. So it's not even lotzra pitzlichus, as the Yerushalmi wants to say, that he can use it to as a bottle stop, Even if he can't use it as a bottle stop, it's still a good shtar, according to the Bavli. Because shtar doesn't have to have any value. If a shtar doesn't have to have any value, what's the schus? What schus does he have? And then what does Rashi say on bia? Bevia, slink subis, roshai lemoisra lebia l'shem kiddushin. He has the rights to give her over lebia l'shem kiddushin. So he can't give...
Rashi drops the vav from the word...
From the word bia. He does over here.
Makes sense grammatically?
And it might even be a mistake.
Okay.
It might even not just be, because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense grammatically. Rashi lemoisra lebia l'shem kiddushin, what does that mean? That he's permitted to give her over l'shem kiddushin, lebia l'shem kiddushin. Without her will. Her will is not relevant in this. Certainly, yeah, her will is not relevant, as we'll see. So, and he has that right.
What else could it mean? I mean, what's the...
Yeah, what does it mean? So what is the schus? What are these schuyus? To be mekabel l'shtar, is that a schus?
And would it make sense, would that be allowed whether she's a katana or a nara?
Yes, katana or nara.
Doesn't matter? Uh-huh. Giving her over?
Uh-huh. Has the rights to give her over. That's the whole difficulty of this mission, that it's nara. That's the curve ball here. I must warn you, I think we're going to spend two weeks on the sugya. We're not going to rush through. I think we're going to spend 2 weeks on the sugya. Today we're going to raise the confusions. We're not necessarily going to resolve everything today. Today we'll raise all the confusions. And then I'll leave it to Rabbi Lichtenstein on Shavuos night when you're all tired to resolve all the confusions. And then we'll wrap it up next. We'll wrap it up next Sunday. I want to open the issues at the moment. I want to start off opening the issues. What does a schus mean? A schus is a right of ownership. Some kind of right of ownership. How do rights of ownership manifest? If you want to know who's an owner of something, how would you know?
Well, the person uses the object and manifests.
He could be a shoyl, he could be a borrower using the object. You don't know that's an owner because he's using the object. What can an owner do that nobody else can do? What kind of decisions?
Transfer.
So he can dispose of it, only an owner can. That's bia. The father can say, you're going to have bia with this man, l'shem kiddushin. He can transpose. That's a schus of ownership. That's authority and power. What else is there? Once I was traveling, it was a yeshiva book, I was traveling on a charter airline in one of these old comets. I don't know if you remember, comets were the first jets that were made, and they used to crash like anything. And I was traveling on one of these things, so I was scared as it was, and I'm reading the ticket as I'm sitting in the, it looked like a strange ticket, it was a charter airline, and the ticket starts off, we do not guarantee to get you to your destination.
Oh my
that
God.
Was the thing, and now we're really kind of taking off, okay? We do not guarantee to get your luggage to your destination. So we get to the destination and tackle the luggage is gone. There's no sign of luggage, nor of anybody who claims any responsibility. So who do I go to speak to? Who's the Baldov? No, they don't know. There's nobody. And that was in foreign. I think it was in Turkey. They didn't understand what I was saying. Eventually I said, if I could fly a comet and I were to get into that cockpit and fly it away, who would come running after me? That's the guy I want to speak to. So that's because that's the next thing is, who do you deal with? If you want to negotiate, who's the Baldova? That's shtar. Here's the one you want to give a shtar. Who do I go to give the shtar? Father. Nobody else. The girl can't be mekabel the shtar on her own. Somebody else can't be mekabel. Only the father. That's a right. That's a zchus. It's a right of ownership. And the third one is, if you sell it, who gets the money? So if you look at a modern corporation, you've got those same three levels. When I was learning with Moshe, he made the point, it's absolutely right. If you look at a corporation, the rights to dispose of the corporation, who would that be? That could be the board. The board of directors would have to pass the rights to dispose. You want to sell? The board of directors would have to do that. If you want to negotiate with the company, who would you negotiate with? The CEO. And if you sell the company, who gets the money? The shareholders. So in a corporate, those three pieces of ownership are divided among three different bodies, but they're all schuyos. The bailus is only the shareholders. That's why it's called schus and not bailus. Bailus is only the shareholders. Only the shareholders own a company. Nobody else owns the company. But a chief executive has schuyos. A board of directors have schuyos. They have different schuyos. And those are the schuyus that we need to understand. So in the case of the girl, explains Rashi, when the Mishnah says ha'av zakai bevitoy, that manifests in kiddushin, bekiddushe or bekesef. It manages the kiddushin money goes to him. If you want to give a shtar, you have to deal with him, and he can give it away for me. He can dispose of her as he pleases. So the three is chuyus attached to ownership. The father has them all. That's what this Mishnah tells us. So let's have a look. I want to read some Tosfos Yom Tov to you. Didn't have a chance to photostat it for you. Uva Bia. So the Tosfos Yom Tov says the following. The Yerushalmi says, and Tosfos is going to bring this Yerushalmi, that's why it's important to know the Yerushalmi. Nicho bekesef uvishtar ha'av zakai. I understand bekesef uvishtar that the av is zoiche. That makes sense. I understand the schus. The vada is schus huloi. It's clearly a schus. Kishe mekabel ha'kesef la'atzmoi. He takes the money and puts it in his pocket. That's a schus. And he takes a shtar and he can use it as a bottle stop. He can do something with it. He can use it. So Yerushalmi seems to hold that there has to be some kind of value in the shtar. Although in the Bavli we learn there doesn't have to be value in the shtar. Anyway, so says the Yerushalmi, I can understand that there's schus in the kesef. I can understand that there's schus in the shtar. But what's there by the beer? Can't exactly sell her. What's that about? Tipater answers the Yerushalmi. A man can come off the streets and say, I would like to be koino, your daughter, bevio. And if you let me, there's a nice pack of money available for you. He buys the rights to, so he's not mekadesh with the money. He bribes the father to allow him to be Makadish, the daughter, Bevio. That's what he does. So there is monetary value in that as well. For HaMefarish Kosov, the Tosfos Yom Tov says, and the Mefarish on the Yerushalmi wrote the following. So that's the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, I understand Kesef, I understand Shtar. There is tangible value in Kesef, there's tangible value in Shtar. But where's the tangible value in Bio? What kind of schus is it? Answers the Yerushalmi, even in Bio, there can be a case where somebody bribes the father and gets the right to have Kiddushin Bevio. V'ham Mefarish Kosov, and now the Tosfos Yom Tov quotes the Mefarish on the Yerushalmi. Avar Rashi Pirish de Rashai Lemeisur Lebiya L'Shem Kiddushin Zehu Schusse. And the Mefarish says that Rashi disagrees with that. And Rashi says it's not because the Bio can yield revenue. It's just the fact that he can give her away. That is his chus. The fact that he can give her away is her chus. Ad kan l'shon ha-mefarish. V'to'o b'shtayim. Says the mefarish, says the Tosfos Yom Tov, the mefarish has made two mistakes. Chado. Shane, it's important to see when the achronim, I'm not suggesting that we do the same thing, but it is important to see that the courageous challenging of authority within certain parameters is part of Limud HaTorah. That to operate the way we sometimes tend to do today, you know, people say the Gedolim say, and that's the end of the conversation. There's nothing more to say. That's it. That's not Derech HaTorah. Derech HaTorah is why. Where does it come from? Does everybody agree that way? Are there other dayas? Is that in every situation? How do you know that's what the Gedolim say? Who did they say it to? They want questions. You don't have to just be makabel. Question. It's part of the way. Tosfos Yom Tov is willing to say, but Toa Bishtayim, he made two mistakes. Whether he did or he didn't, but from the Tosfos Yom Tov's perspective, the way he sees the world, there are two things that are not okay here. Chado, Shein Das Rashi Ken. That's not true that Rashi said that. Deloisim Klal Zehus Chusoy, because the Mefarish added in two words into Rashi that aren't in Rashi. Rashi doesn't say Zehus Chusa. Let's leave it there. Let's leave it with his one mistake. And Bimchilas Kavoida, I think that the Tosfos Yom Tov is making a mistake in a sense. The Mefarish doesn't say that Rashi says Zehus Chusa. That's the Mefarish saying. Rashi pirish the Rosh Elamisul Lebi Elashem Kiddushin says the Mefarish Zehus Chus. According to Rashi, that's his Chus. Rashi doesn't hold that you need a tangible Chus. So we have a Machloikis Rashi in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. So, or let's say we have a Machloikis Yerushalmi and Bavli according to Rashi. The Yerushalmi says a schus without tangible outcome is not a schus. If you own something that can't be converted to cash, that has no value. There's such thing as intangible value. At the end of the day, there must be a way to convert it to money. If you can't convert it to money, it doesn't have value. And that's the way most business people operate today. It's all very well. You can talk about intangibles and this is nice and that's nice. At the end of the day, they want to know, how can you measure it? If you can't measure it, it doesn't mean it's not valid. It just means you can't own something. It's not an asset. You can't have an asset that cannot be measured. Before we go into other ways of understanding it, first let's understand it my way, and then we'll open it up and understand it any other way too. First, you figure it out to understand how I'm learning, then afterwards I'll figure out to learn how you want to learn. And this whole thing about whether it's chus has to be tangible or not, this is a whole machlokes that's going on today. This is a machlokes Google and Apple. What am I talking about? The machlokes Yerushalmi and Rashi is the machlokes Google and Apple. Yeah. Google says intellectual property is not, it doesn't have value. It doesn't have commercial value. It's very valuable, but it doesn't have commercial, therefore it doesn't have bailus. If it doesn't, leaving aside copyright, if it's not under copyright law, it doesn't have bailus. If it doesn't have bailus, it has to be free. Who's charging for it? It doesn't belong to anybody. It's like charging for oxygen. And Apple says, no, the delivery, the format in which you deliver it is tangible. It's true, the ideas are intangible. But the format in which you deliver it is tangible. That's why Apple started charging $1 for a song on iTunes, and now they charge for books that you're trying to make it cheaper. That's fine. But the fact is, it's being delivered on a tangible platform. So you're paying for the platform. The same as you can't charge for water, but you can charge for delivery of water. You can't charge for oxygen, but if you deliver oxygen to your house, you can charge for it. You can charge for the service. So there's a tangible component. The way the Yerushalmi learns is, if there's not a tangible component, there can't be bailus. The way the Rashi's learning in the Bavli is, power is also tangible. Even if it can't be authority, power is tangible. It is a schus. It doesn't have to be tangible. Power is an intangible schus. So he would say, money is a form of power. But there are other forms of power too. And the Yerushalmi says, no, money is it. It's all about money. Money is the measure of value. If it can't be measured, if there's no measure of value, it's not valuable in terms of anything measurable. Do you follow the difference? And this is very important in the formulation of a worldview. And you remember in the very first introduction to the Shir, I said the purpose of our learning, the way we're going to learn Yemetz Hashem, is not just to understand the Gemara, it's to understand the world through the eyes of the Gemara. That's what's important. To understand the Gemara is easy. You take an art scroll and you read. That's no big deal. To understand Gemara is not difficult. To understand the world through the eyes of Gemara is much more difficult. And once you understand the world through the eyes of Gemara, your understanding of Gemara changes because it adds a new dimension. When you look at something with a new dimension, you see things you couldn't see before. So we bring the dimension of reality of the world into the Gemara, and now all of a sudden the Gemara starts taking on a new dimension. One begins to understand it. So that's the big machlokes, and it's a very big machlokes in the way this operates. Where does money come from? Now look at something a little bit further more interesting too. I'm going to read to you from the Rav on the Mishnah. I'm sorry you don't have it in front of you, but while you do Chazora, these are good things to do. Over Shavuos, have a look at the Mishnah inside with the Tosfos Yom Tov and the Rav. Says the Rav, he learns through like Rashi, Avzaka Bivita Bikatnusu Venarusu, Bikidusha Bekesef, Shekesef Kidusha Shiloi, Dichtiv. How do I know Kesef Kidusha Shiloi? Dichtiv Ba'ama Ha'ivri, and I'm assuming you know the Sugya. I'm not assuming you've resolved it fully, we're going to do that together. But I'm assuming you know the posuk of Yotzeh Chinam in Kosef, and the posuk of Izbiti Nasati Li Shazeh, that you know that. So says the Rav, shekesef kidushio sheloi dichtiv ba'amo ivriyo v'yotzechim amin kesef v'dalshinen en kesef l'odin ze kloyma l'odin shekana'o sheyotzo miyitoi chinam b'siman ha'inarus. When she leaves her owner, her master, she's an Amo Ivriya. As a Ketana, she was sold as an Amo Ivriya. She becomes a Naro while she's working for her owner, for her master. At the moment, she becomes a Naro. She leaves and there's no compensation to the owner. Even if she didn't work her full term, she goes out free. But we learn from that in this case, because there's a double wording. Yotzo Chinom, she goes out Chinom, free. Ein Kosef, there's no money. That's an addition. That's a riba. That's extra words. What do we learn from that? But there is another case where she does it. There is monetary compensation. Umanu av she kesef kedushim kedushim. So that's a gzeres hakosuf. This is not because she's too young to keep her own money. She's a naro. There's a different din altogether. The din is that the father gets the kesef because of the gzeres hakosuf of yotzachinu men kesef and kesef laodon zeh, but yesh kesef laodon acher. אפילו כשינארו עד שתיבוגה. בשטר ובביו, שמקבל שטר קידושין עולל ומויסרו לביו לשם קידושין למי שירצה, דכתיב והויסו, שמי שירצה, so that's like Rashi. Now he adds, דכתיב, where do we know that from? והויסו, איתקוש הוויס להדדי. We learn שטר from ויוצו והויסו. When ויוצו והויסו, there's a hekesh, they put together. יוצו is גיטין. Gittin, we know there's a shtar, the get is a shtar, and v'yotza v'hoysa teaches us that just as she can leave a marriage with a shtar, so she can come into a marriage with a shtar. And the havayas are drawn together, ma kesef shu echod min havayas b'rishu saviyah, af kidush shtar uviyah b'rishu saviyah. Just as we know that kesef goes to the father, and kesef is a way into marriage, shtar and bia are also ways into marriage called havayas. So they also go to the father, the schus goes to the father. What's interesting is if you can picture diagrammatically, what is the origin of the three? So we said this, according to Rashi, these are three different things. Kiddusha bekesef, the shtar, there's bia. Is there any interrelationship between them conceptually, based on what I've just learned out from the Rav? Is one of them more primary than the other two? Kesef is primary. The Ikar Limud is from Vayotza Vahoysa. Now that I know that the Kesef goes to the father, using the Havayos, I say all the others also belong to the father. But the core, the source of the whole thing, is the Kesef. Okay?
Is it the Kesef or is it the value that Kesef represents?
Either way, but it's monetary value. It's
value.
It's Vayotza Vahoysa is proper kesef. That's where we learn Kinyan Kesef from. So Yotza Chinom and Kosef, that's where we learn Kesef. We learn Kesef from there, and we learn that the Kesef goes to the father. So that's specific to Kesef. And that Kesef goes to the father. From there we learn the other two. So the way the Rav is learning it, the source of everything is Kesef. And that fits in nicely with the Yerushalmi, actually, doesn't it? And it fits in with the worldview, but it fits in with the Yerushalmi, because the Yerushalmi then is saying the schus, the origin of the schus of the father is learned from which posuk? The Yotzachinom en Kosef. That's where the schus, where the Mishnah says Ha'av Zakai Bevitoi, that schus in the bas is learned from the Yotzachinom en Kosef. And from there we learn the other two. But the makor, the real root of the limud, is from Kinyan Kesef. That's the way it goes, and that's why the Yerushalmi says, if there's no Kesef, there's no schus. If there's bio and there's no way of linking that to money, there's no schus, because the schus comes from Yotzachinam and Kosef. And from there we learn it's for bio and shtar as well, but there's got to be a monetary dimension to bio and shtar. So that would be nice according to the Yerushalmi. But what about according to Rashi? Rashi says Bia's got nothing to do with money, and Shtar's got nothing to do with money. So where do you think, according to Rashi, where do you think the origin of the whole thing is, of the whole principle? Because if it's Vayotza Chinom and Kosef, then he's learning like the Yerushalmi. So he must hold that the Bavli learns differently. That the Bavli learns the origin is not v'yotzeh chinam ein kosef. So where's the origin? Isn't that an interesting puzzle? The pashtus of the Gemara is that it's v'yotzeh chinam ein kosef. So now I understand the Yerushalmi makes good sense. So Tosfos Yom Tov brings the Yerushalmi, but he also says, he brings the Mefarish, says that Rashi is chelik. And although the Tosfos Yom Tov wants to say maybe Rashi isn't chelik, Rashi is chelik. Mefarish is right. So where does Rashi learn? Where does it all come from? What other posuk in the sugya could it possibly come from? Well, Menurel Beis Havia we discard. Isn't that we've got 5 or 6 lines of Gemara where we try and go through all that and we push it aside, it doesn't work. Es bisi nosati li shazer is the only other thing. What do we learn from es bisi nosati li shazer? No, we learn something more foundational than that. That the father has the father's the odin. That the father's an odin, even of a naro. It's true, in the beginning we wanted to say maybe that posuk's talking about a ktana, but at the end we'll come out that clearly the whole thing is even banaro. But that's another posuk. So now there are two philosophies happening in the sugya. One philosophy is it all stems from v'yotzeh chinam ein kosef. This is all about money. And money is a very important thing, because money is the way we transfer value. We transfer value to the Beis HaMikdash, we transfer value from the Beis HaMikdash, we transfer value to one another. We pay workers. Money is terribly important. Money is a ruchniyistik thing. Money is not a gashmiyistik thing. Money is a ruch. The world was created in such a way. Money is a principle in halacha, no difference to kashrus and shabbos. And money is a musag in halacha. It's a halachic concept. The Torah doesn't work without money. Take money away. Say money is not important. 3/4 of shas folds up. Probably more than that. What can you work? You can't work noshim without money. You can't work nezikin without money. You can't work kodshim without money. You can't work zroim without money. So you're left with tara. Mikvahs you can have. That's what you can have. So money is an essential part. It costs money to build a mikvah. Money is an essential part of halachic reasoning. You can't reason halacha without money. So money is, when you think money, don't think of investment bankers on Wall Street. You think money, you think this is how value is transferred in halacha. So the one philosophy here is that everything stems from money. It's all about money. The sugya is about money because we learn the power of the father over Naira from the posuk of v'yotzeh chinam ein kosef. The other philosophy is this is all about power. Es biti nosati l'ish hazeh. I have the right to give my daughter away. That's the right of the father. That power can manifest into money because I can let her go b'kiddushi kesef as well. But I don't have to do it b'kiddushi kesef. I could do it b'kiddushi bio. I could do it b'shtar. I'll decide how I want her to go. I dispose of it. I have the power. Kesef is only one of the outcomes of that power. So the question is, which is the source and which is the outcome? According to the Yerushalmi, v'yotzeh chinam ein kesef, kesef is the source, power is the outcome. According to Rashi and the Bavli, according to Rashi, power is the source, kesef is the outcome. And those are two ways of looking at the world. It's two ways of looking at politics. It's two ways of looking at business. It's two ways of looking at halacha. It's two ways of looking at relationships. It's two ways of looking at marriage. It's just two different ways of looking at the entire world that we have. We haven't even started the sugi. We're just trying to unravel the first two lines. And we've already got two ways of looking at the world. And if you think that's far-fetched, says the Rambam, listen carefully. In Hilchos Ishus Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Aleph, Ha'av mekadesh es bitoy sheloy ledato. A father can be mekadesh his daughter without her involvement, her conscious involvement. Kol zman shehi ktana, v'chein kshehi naro, reshuso beyodoy. And even when she's a naro, reshuso beyodoy. She's not beyodoy. He doesn't own her physically, but reshuso beyodoy. Her power. The power over her is in his hand. Shenermar, because it says, what do you expect the Rambam to say? Es bitino, because he's talking about power, not about money. Shenermar es bitino sati lishazel liisho. That's the source of it all. And therefore, kiddushel lavio. From that you learn that he gets the kiddushin. Says the Rambam, learning like the Rashi or like the Yerushalmi? Like Rashi. So we've got Rashi and the Rambam in one school, and we've got the Yerushalmi, which we could say is just the Yerushalmi, we could say it's Bavli and Yerushalmi, except as we will see, Tosfos learns our Gemara like the Yerushalmi. We have a principle in learning. We don't like to create a machlokes Bavli and Yerushalmi if it's not necessary. So Tosfos says there's no machlokes Bavli and Yerushalmi. The Bavli and Yerushalmi learn the same. So there's a machlokes Rashi and Rambam on the one hand, and Tosfos on the other hand, as to whether the Bavli goes like the Yerushalmi or the Bavli's chelik on the Yerushalmi. That's the difference. So according to Tosfos, there's only one worldview. It's all about money. According to Rashi, there are two worldviews. There's the Yerushalmi's worldview that it's all about money, and there's the Bavli's worldview that it's all about power, and the Rambam Paskins like the Bavli. That's how it would then come out. So the again, so the Yesod is Bitin Osati Shazer.
He adds in the Gemara, but how do you know Kiddusha as Bitin Osati?
Like the Rambam.
And then the next Gemara is Kashi, how do you know it goes to him?
So we'll see as we learn through the Gemara, it's beautiful. As we learn through our Sugya, that's exactly how it's going to come out. That you've got to go, you've got to come back, you've got to loop back to the Yotzachinam and Kosef in order to understand what is Bitin Osati Shazer means. If it means only Baktan or Banaira. But that's how it would count. Now you can tell me how you want to learn the Mishnah instead. Okay. My point exactly. That's the so now we can look, we've got a few minutes left. Let's start learning the Gemara now. No. She can't. Not in this area.
I think if her father's dead.
Yes, but not if he's alive, and not if she hasn't been married before. She's still if she's a, no, it's not a shared power. It's only a shared power if she gets married, and then for the Dorian there's a shared power. But there's but for this he, and that's the weird thing, that she has the right. She could sell the Empire State Building if it belonged to her, but she can't be mekabel kiddushin of a pruta for herself. So that's what our whole thing is. If we look at our Gemara now, so bekesef. The Mishnah said bekesef. That an issue is nikneis bekesef minala. First question is, where do we know from? Now you might say, and Tosfos touches on that, and lots and lots of different answers. You might say, but we've learned that already. We've been through that already. And you remember Tosfos said that the ikur sugi is not on daf beis. But sof kol sof, we've done it. We've done kicho ki yikach ish isho and kicho misdei efron. We know that. Why are we starting again? Well, you see, says the Mishnah, because v'tu, don't just stop there. If it was just kesef, then I would agree with you. We know this already. But v'tu, hatis na avzakei b'vitu b'kiddushah b'kesef b'shtarev v'biyah minanan de mekanya b'kesef b'kesef da'avuahu. If it were just a regular case of kesef, she's a naira. If she's a naira, she can transact on her own. If she can't transact on her own, why is this kesef going to the father? So clearly this isn't normal kesef. This isn't a normal sale. She's not selling an object. If she was selling an object, she could deal with it herself. A question then, because of Shvach Nurim, does the father get the Shvach Nurim? That's a different thing, but she has the rights to transact herself, and theoretically she has the right, she has a yad. She has a legal hand, so she could accept money, she could contract, she can transact. By the fact that the father gets the money, tells us that the Kinyan Kesef is not like a Kinyan Kesef of a Sodeh. Don't tell me we learned this from Stay Ephraim. Because if she sold Stay Ephraim, she would keep the money. In principle, in Midoraisa, she would keep the money in itself. Yes, yeah, so the question of Shvach Nirim, but she would be able to keep the money. The fact that she cannot keep the money, that the money goes to the father, that although she's a Naira and therefore legally independent, in this specific area she's not independent at all, that's a chiddush entirely, which means this Kinyan Kesef is a different geder. It's a different hagdorah, it's a different definition. It has a different package of halacha. Where does this pack come from? This can't come from kicho kicho. This is more complex. That's the v'tu. So in other words, the fact that the father gets the money indicates that this Kesef is not like other Kesef. There's something weird going on here. And where's the origin of this weirdness? Minalan the two hadit nan hav zakai vitu because the show because the bishtar of the minalan the mekanya because of the kesef davuahu. Let's learn our Rashi, which is very similar, if not identical, to the Rashi in Ksuvas. Says Rashi, Bekesef minalan, hocha iker, v'le'al agav grara nakit le'le terutza loshen kinyan demasnisin. This is where we really are going into it. This is the real sugya. Before, we just had to deal with the loshen kinyan, so we touched on it. But that wasn't the real makor of it all. Zakai bevito, shehakesef yeh sheloi, that the kesef kiddushin is his, v'hu mekabel hashtar, and he can be mekabel the shtar, he's the contracting party. If you want to marry the girl, you speak to the father. That's power. V'hu moser lebiyo al korcho l'shem kiddushin b'oidonar. And he hands it over to lebiyo al korcho l'shem kiddushin while she's still a naira. Now, al korcho seems to be that you have the picture in your mind of her yelling and screaming and saying, no, I don't want to, and that's not the essence of it. As you'll see, if you have a look in on Daf Hey Amud Aleph, is that right? Daf Hey Amud Aleph. About 10 lines from the bottom, when it's talking about Ba'amo Yivriya Ba'al Korcho, less than 10 lines, six or 7 lines from the bottom in the Rashi, in Hey Amud Aleph, Ba'amo Yivriya Ba'al Korcho, She'ovia Meichro Sheloi Midata, which is the same lotion that the Rambam used by the Isha. Sheloi Midata means you don't need her das. Why don't you need her das? Because she's not the contracting party. It's not her das. The father's das is her das. You've got to see her like a computer. She's just a screen and a keyboard plugged in to the computer, which is the father. So the motherboard is the father's mind. His das. Her das. She doesn't have das. So she can be yelling and screaming. It's irrelevant. And that's why the Rambam says in the very next piece, after the piece that I learned with you, is even if she's a cherish or a shoita, Gemara says, the Rambam brings the halacha, even if she's a cherish or shoita, where normally she wouldn't have the ability to transact, yeah, he can marry her off, because it's not her das, it's his das. She doesn't need das, her das is irrelevant. We short-circuit her das.
Once she becomes a bogeris, so it's after the stage of Nara, so...
Then everything is...
Go to him, nothing.
Then she's a complete adult, she's completely independent, he's out of it. Yeah. It's only that period of Nara. Nara is a halachic anomaly. That 6 months of Nara is a halachic anomaly from which we learn a lot of concepts. So realistically, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. It's kind of 6 months and later on. So it doesn't have a whole lot of practical difference. But there is an enormous amount of halachic knowledge that we get from that period of Nara.
I guess practically speaking, father is going to want to marry off his daughter before she gets to 12 and a half. Otherwise,
yeah, see that he's got control over who can do it. Says Rashi further. So al korcha, we see it when Rashi says al korcha, it doesn't mean the idea is not by force. The point is she loy midat, or we don't need her das. It's irrelevant. So that's what it is. Kedushi boyda minalon hanach tarti. Where do the two come from? Rashi links them. This is not. I'm not asking one by one. Hanach tarti. The mekanya bekesef detani maslit minalon shav zakei bekidiktani hoso. Linking them together, that there is kesef, and that the nature of this kesef is such that it goes to the father and doesn't stay with the naira. That's a big chiddush. So what kind of kesef is this? This isn't normal kesef. What kind of kesef is it, and what is the origin of the creation of this concept of kesef? Answers the Gemara, back in the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav, the Omar Kro. Sorry, before we go further in the Gemara, look at Tosfos. Ha'av zakai bevito, mefarish b'Yerushalmi, sheyesh lo schus bevia, shenoisin lo schar lekadesh bevia. Do you see how the Tosfos learns it? He brings the Yerushalmi, explaining that there is a schus bio because even the bio can be converted to cash, can be converted to money. So Tosfos learns that the Bavli is going like the Yerushalmi, and Rashi's learning, like the Rambam, that the Bavli does not go like the Yerushalmi. They're different. Rashi and the Rambam learn that the Bavli is chilek on the Yerushalmi, and two different worldviews emerge as the relationship between power and money.
Interesting, the Tosfos
Harosh brings that although according to the Bavli, he doesn't need to, it's not because he can use the shtar, because you're allowed to use the shtar even if it's Isur Bahano, says the Tosfos Harosh, but since by two of them there is financial implication, Bio and Kesef, we talk about it as a schus, even though Shtar is not really a schus. That's how Tosfos learns it. According to Rashi, Shtari still is Schus. One of the Schus is, who do you deal with? You come to the Balabos to deal, that's a sign of Schus. So you have to give him the Shtari, that's a sign of Schus. But according to Tosfos, that has no monetary value. If it has no monetary value, so what? Says the Tosfos, Rosh HaNechanami, it has no monetary value, but two of them do have monetary value, and that's enough to call it a Schus. That's how he learns it. So there we see, in that Tosfos, we see the tension between Rashi and the Rambam on the one hand, and Tosfos and the Yerushalmi on the other hand. Answers Omar Rav Yudom Rav Do Omar Kro V'yotzochinom Ein Kosef Ein Kesef La'adoin Ze Aval Yesh Kesef La'adoin Acher Uman Nihu Av. There is Kesef for another Odin, and who is that Odin? It's the Av. I would just like to draw your attention to finish off to the Rashi in Ksubis on that Uman Nihu Av. So if you look at after the Gemara starts in Rashi, in the Ksubis, about halfway down the Omid, Umanu Av, about 6 lines after the Gemara starts, or 8 lines, Umanu Av, She'ein Odin Labas Yisrael Elo Avia Chutz Mizeh Shinim Karola. Abbas Yisrael can only have 2 Adoins. That's why it says it. This Adoin doesn't get any money, but the other one does. Is there only one Odin? Well, what's Rashi worried about? Who could be another Odin of a girl?
Brother?
The owner of the servant is an Odin.
If the father said, maybe
the father's an Odin. Maybe a brother. Who else?
The husband,
says Rashi, not on your life. A husband is not an Odin. Ein Odin Labas Yisrael, unless you buy her as an Amo Ivriya or you're her father. A husband is not an Odin. A husband is a Baal. Remember we said in the first year, Baal and Odin are 2 different concepts. They're not the same. And here we have, the limud over here shows you, because there is no other Odin. A Baal is not an Odin. Don't think that when she leaves, that it might mean that when she leaves her husband, that she has to pay money to him, but Bishas Gitin, that she has to buy a get from him, not at all, because he's not an Odin. And a Baal is not an Odin, a Baal is a Baal, and that's a very different concept from an Odin. A Baal is, I think we said it in that year, with a Baal there's a reciprocal requirement. If you own a field, the field belongs to you, but you have to invest in the field. If you leave the field alone, it deteriorates. You've got to put into the field, and the field gives back to you. You own a business, you invest in the business gets back to you. You're a Baal Asher, you feed the Shur will give you good work. You don't feed the Shur will die. And Odin, it's one way. You own an Eved, you don't have to give the Eved anything. You don't even have to give him food. You can send him out to beg. You don't have to give the Eved anything. The Eved has to work for you. The Ribbono Shel Olam is our Odin. He doesn't have to do anything for us. Everything he does for us is chesed. He's not a Baal. He's not our husband. He's an Odin. That's why we call him. We call him Hashem. Odin. Hashem is an Odin. Adonai Olam. Hashem, he doesn't owe us anything. We are full of indebtedness to him. A girl to her father, he doesn't owe her. It's one way. She owes him. And an Odin buys us that. But a husband, Baal is different. He has rights in her, she has rights in him. He has obligations to her, she has obligations to him. With Bailus there's mutuality, with Adnus there isn't. And that's why Rashi says clearly, Manu, who is this other Odin? It's only one person it can be, that's the father, because a girl doesn't have another Odin. That's it. Okay, so we'll go further. We'll get down to the 2 dots at the top of the next, or to the top of the next Omid, next Sunday hopefully, and you'll have time over Yom Tov to work with the sugya, to get into the Tosfos a little bit more, chaza what we've done, and prepare a little further. Have a good Yom Tov, everyone. Whatever.